This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Mike Canary. On today's show, we're re-airing an hour of live music from our performance studio with FGCU's Jazz Quartet. The show originally aired back in January. And if you like live jazz music, mark your calendar for Thursday, October 4th, when we'll be having another group of jazz musicians from FGCU's music program back on the show for another hour of live tunes. But now, on to the show. While jazz might be kind of hard to describe with words, it's pretty safe to say you know it when you hear it. I'm joined in studio today by a group of really cool guys, or at least I presume they're really cool because that's what jazz is all about, right? But no, seriously, we're here with Florida Gulf Coast University's Jazz Quartet and the school's Director of Jazz Studies live for the hour in our performance studio. We're going to pick their brains about jazz music and get a sense of their musical backgrounds and where they hope to be heading in the future. I'm going to start by introducing Professor Brandon Robertson. He is the aforementioned Director of Jazz Studies. He's also director of the FGCU basketball band. Professor Robinson, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. So who else we have in studio here today?
Well, today we'll be joined by trumpeter Alec Prorock. You'll be listening to Jonathan Ingram on bass, Mr. Joel Law on piano, and Miguel Scully on drums.
Okay, well, we'll meet you more, and we'll meet all of them as we progress through the hour, but we're going to start with some music. So what's up first?
The first selection that they're going to be performing is a chart by Lee Morgan entitled The Double Up.
All right, this is The Double Up, performed in our performance studio by the FGCU Jazz Quartet. We're devoting the hour to live jazz on today's show. Let's take it away. That was The Double Up, performed in our performance studio by the FGCU Jazz Quartet. We're devoting the hour to live jazz on today's show, in case you happen to just tune in. And we are talking about listening to jazz on the show. If you want to join the show, you can call 239-590-2580. You can find us on Facebook and leave a question or comment there at WGCU Public Media, or on Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. Okay, so Professor Brandon Robinson, we're going to start with you. You're, again, the Director of Jazz Studies here at FGCU and Director of the school's basketball band. Did you ever figure you'd be Director of Jazz Studies at a university?
No.
How did you wind up here?
About 2 years ago, I was completing my master's degree at Florida State, and before I graduated, my wife is from this area, so I knew we were going to be moving here, and so I found out that FGCU was the only university in this area, so I reached out to the instrumental studies department head, and I talked to him, and he brought me in, introduced me to Dr. Albergo. And from there, they gave me a job. And so when I originally started, I was only teaching their jazz technique course and running the jazz ensemble. And then as of this year, they've made me now the director of the basketball band. So very excited to be here.
So where did your – and you can tell, by the way, just the way you interact with these guys and everything, you're obviously jazzed by doing this.
Oh, yes.
pun intended, I guess. Where did your musical path begin?
I'm originally from Tampa. My mom was a gospel singer, so I've been around music my whole life. And when I was 10 years old, I got introduced to the upright bass. My music teacher at the time, she said, "You're the tallest kid in the class, you can play it." And I've been stuck on the bass ever since. And I got into jazz later on, like in the end of high school. And so from there, I went to college, studied jazz in college, and then have been traveling the world and playing professionally since.
How many bands are you involved with, or have you been involved with recently? I read your bio. It looks like you kind of are all over the place.
Yeah, so more so, I had a brief sting with the Count Basie Orchestra for a little bit, and I do lead my own quartet that actually consists of some of the best Southwest Florida musicians in this area. And so I usually put together different configurations of bands that I play with. So sometimes it'll be trio, quartet, quintet, whatever the case may be.
Tell us a little bit about the basketball band. What is it comprised of? And that must be pretty exciting to be a part of the scene here with the basketball
world. Oh, man. So when I first got into it, they kind of threw me into it, and I didn't know what I was doing at first. And then as the season started to progress, I started catching on quicker about how the game sequences work. And now I love it. I've grown a deep connection with the students. The students have gotten to know me. The music that we play is rocking, and we get that arena jumping every single basketball game. And the athletic department here is awesome. So thank you all for those of you with the FGCU athletics department for having me be a part of the team.
Well, while we're talking about FGCU, can you give us a breakdown of your concert season? Because I know
Yes.
you guys have some shows coming up, and I don't want to somehow miss that before we move on.
Sure. So this actually in 2 weeks on Sunday, February 11th, is our first spring concert that will be held at the Utobe Hall at the Bauer Music School. That'll be at 3 p.m. So, again, that's February 11th, Sunday, February 11th at 3 p.m. at the Bauer Music School. This concert is a very special one because the following week – we've been invited to perform at the 6th Annual Landings Music Festival. And so this is the first time that they've actually invited the collegiate band to perform at this festival. So I'm very excited that FGCU got that, our ensemble got the opportunity to do this. That will be on Saturday, February 24th. Unfortunately, this one isn't open to the public. It's only open to the members of the Landings. But we're really excited for this because we get the perform alongside, or not alongside, but on the same stage with Charlie McCoy, who is a Country Hall of Famer harmonica player. And for those of you who are from Nashville, he has recorded, I believe it was like 13,000 studio sessions. Like he's on every single recording that came out from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and beyond. You've probably heard his sound. So we're really excited to be performing with him. And then our last concert of the semester will be Sunday, April 8th. Also at the Utobe Hall at the Bauer Music School. And we're going to have special guest Lou Delgado on saxophone perform with us. We're going to be doing an Art Blakey tribute concert. And then for those who don't know Lou Delgado, he spent 30 years with the Saturday Night Live band from, I believe, 1979 to about 2003.
He plays downtown at the Barrel Room,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah. I'm in his quartet with him at the Barrel Room every Thursday from 7 to 10, and that's with Dan Miller, trumpet player Dan Miller, Lou Delgado on saxophone, and Tony Vigilante on drums, and myself on bass.
So where does, you know, and I'm sure this is a big question, but where does jazz fit into the modern music scene? I mean, is it it's a place people go to clubs and maybe they listen to it on soundtracks, but it's not something, you know, where does it fit in?
That's an interesting question because, as you know, jazz was the first form of American music. You know, it originated in America. It was the first popular form of music in America. And so I believe that jazz music will always exist. You're always going to hear it in today's music. You would hear it 20 years ago, 30 years ago. And I always tell my students, if you listen to today's music, I can directly pull jazz, either jazz licks or jazz influences from other songs, and I can cross-reference them, and I can show them, like, here, this is where they're pulling this from. So jazz is pretty much universal. It's always going to get manifested, and it's going to transform and evolve into different things as time progresses and generations start to get more into the music and keep it going, you know, preserving the music. So
do you play other forms of music professionally?
I mean, yes. I also do blues. I also do I've done country gigs, R&B gigs, hip hop gigs. I tell my students.
And you're a stand-up bass player.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I play upright bass and electric. But I tell my students, I'm like, you know, don't look at yourself as a jazz musician. Look at yourself as a musician. You should be able to do everything. And I'm not saying you got to be perfect at everything, but you want to be a well-rounded musician so you can be ready for anything that comes your way.
All right. So. Well, let's set up here and play another song, and then we'll start introducing members of the band after that. What are we going to hear next?
So this next tune that they're going to play is by a saxophonist named Joe Henderson, and this is off of his record Page One, and it's entitled Record of May.
All right. We will once again meet the members of the band after this. That's comprised of Alec Prorok on trumpet, Jonathan Ingram on bass, Joel Law on piano, and Miguel Azcuy on drums. And this is Record of May, performed live in our performance studio. Take it away. Thank you. was Record-A-May performed in our performance studio by the FGCU Jazz Quartet. We're talking about and listening to jazz music on today's show. We'd love to hear from you. Join the conversation by calling 877-428-8255 or find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media or on Twitter at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So now I'm going to bring on Alec Prorock. He's the trumpet player up for some questions. We're going to go round robin on today's show. We'll hear from each member of the band with some songs in between. So, Alec, welcome to the show. How did you first get started playing music?
Well, hello. Early on, my family is very musical. Both my father and my mother, they're musicians, really. And I grew up around music, you know, constantly, you know, Frank Sinatra records playing or Count Basie records or Harry James or, you know, any of the great swing or jazz artists. So for me, it was kind of normal, you know, and my mom was a singer and a piano player. So, like, I grew up around it, and at the time, I didn't have an interest in it because I was so around it all the time.
Right.
And then as I got older, I realized it was a part of who I was, you know. So, yeah.
So was trumpet your first instrument?
My first serious instrument. I dabbled with piano and guitar lessons, and I quit all those when I was, like, 8 or 7, and then when I was finally 12 years old, I was in middle school and I joined the band program, and then we got to choose our instrument, and trumpet was just a natural thing, seemed like the natural choice for me. So I went with that, and it's been, I guess the rest is history, as I say, yeah.
So when you start learning, trumpet in middle school, you don't start with jazz. You start with just sort of middle school
band music.
At what point did jazz become your musical path with the trumpet?
I would say actually very recently, like within the past 5 years,
oh, okay.
Like out of college. Like I said, I grew up around it, but my passion for playing it didn't start really until college. You know, in high school, I was in the jazz band, but they would always say, hey, you want to take a solo? And I'd be like, no, I was too scared, you know, because I was too scared to put myself out there. I didn't know how to improvise. I didn't quite have the technical ability. And then I wound up in college studying with the local jazz master, Dan Miller, who's mm-hmm. local here, and he teaches thousands of students. He's taught us all how to play jazz, and he was kind of the one who taught me, as well as Danny Jordan in Orlando, a saxophone player. So I learned from them, and they helped cultivate my development, really.
You know, it's interesting that you said that, because my daughter plays trombone in the middle school band, and the jazz band played at their concert last year, and they had two students who had never improvised in front of a crowd before.
Right.
And the band director actually kind of said, now they're going to do this.
Right,
and, you know,
right,
you could just
right.
see, like, their knees knocking, basically.
Right.
Can you remember back to the first time you did that?
Improvised?
Yeah, improvised for a crowd.
Oh, man. I don't really remember the specific event, but I will say playing in front of people was perhaps the most important part for me. It wasn't until I started playing out in front of people and taking gigs and playing with musicians that were better than me, you know, like masters of the music. That was when I actually really started learning and started to feel that I could kind of express myself. Because there's a huge difference between the internal processes are totally different between practice in a practice room or wherever at home and being on a stage in front of people and having that environment. Like, the internal processes are different, and that's really important to experience, because one without the other, you're not going to be a balanced musician. And if all you do is practice and you never have those performance opportunities and play with musicians that are better than you, you'll just never grow, you know, because you're missing half of the experience, really. Arguably the most important experience, playing in front of people and sharing the musical experience.
So what do your fellow students, people your age, think of jazz?
Well, I'm lucky because all my friends are musicians. So
right.
We all love jazz, obviously. But in terms of my generation, I would say – obviously, the majority are into pop, rock, hip-hop, and all that. But in the modern day, we're seeing a lot of artists cross hip-hop and jazz. So jazz is leaking into a lot of the mainstream and a lot of pop music. And I personally think that's great, because when jazz combines with other musics, it creates new ideas, new music ideas, new rhythms, new form. You know, it creates new things. So the more we blend things and combine things, the better. And that's what our country is really based off of. And I think our music should be based off that. And like Professor Robertson said, jazz will never die. It's an American art form, and it will continue to evolve and continue to combine with other forms of popular music and create new genres and new music, you know, that we can all enjoy, you know.
Do you play in any other bands? Other forms of music? Do you have any other side projects that you have going?
I play guitar as well. I'm a jazz guitarist as well, so I do gig a lot around town. I gig mostly with a singer named Morgan Marie. We work as a duo. We do like jazz duos at certain places. I also have I've been an independent artist for a while. I have two records under my name, one solo record under my name, Alec Prok, and then another one when I was with a band called Polianzo. So, you know, that's kind of where I'm from. And
where were you when you recorded those? Here in town somewhere? Or?
Well, I recorded the first my first solo album here at The Vibe, which is in Fort Myers. But when I was with Polianzo, we recorded in Atlanta at Cheshire Studios, or Glow in the Dark Studios now. Yeah.
So what is your goal in life with music? I mean, is this something you intend to continue to pursue professionally? Where do you see yourself in, you know, down the road?
That's such a deep question, and I thought about this question so many hours, and you know, it's caused me a lot of grief. But my degree is in music education, but my dream is to be an artist. I've performed my whole life, and that's what I really love to do. I love to meet people, play in front of people, be on tour, write, be in the studio, and just be an artist in general. And that's been my dream forever, you know. And now that I'm getting close to graduation, I'm a senior. This is my last semester. I'm starting to think, how can I accomplish those things? And it's a really tall goal, but I do want to be an artist, and it's been my dream. And I want to emulate the heroes that have inspired me. You know, I want to be that for other musicians and other kids, you know, other people and whatnot. Yeah, but my dream is to be an artist for sure.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and tee up another song if we could. What are we going to hear next?
Sure, our next tune will be There Will Never Be Another You. The music is by Harry Warren, and it was from a musical called Iceland and composed in 1942. And it's perhaps one of the most popular jazz standards. Anytime you go to a jam session, this tune is pretty much slated to be played on, yeah.
All right. Well, that was Alec Prorok. He's on trumpet today. Jonathan Ingram is on bass. Joel Law is on piano. And Miguel Azcuy is on drums. We'll meet them next. But first, we're going to hear There Will Never Be Another You, performed live in studio by FGCU's Jazz Quartet. Take it away. That was There Will Never Be Another You, performed in our performance studio by the FGCU Jazz Quartet, which is comprised by Alec Prorock on trumpet, Jonathan Ingram on bass, Joel Law on piano, and Miguel Ascui on drums. And we're going to now bring on a phone call from Omar in Fort Myers, I believe. Omar, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. Love the jazz.
Well, thank you very much. They are happy to have some feedback. So how's it sound out there in Radio Land?
Sounds great. Sounds good. Good to hear. It's always great to hear jazz, and always supported jazz, being a performer and a composer and everything. What I really wanted to add to the conversation today, Mike, you know, people talk about jazz, its evolution, how it's original American art form and everything. And, you know, sometimes it can be hard to define, but when you look at people like Lester Young, John Coltrane, Miles Davis, and on to, you know, all the different styles as it evolves, it's the people, really, that make jazz. So you can talk about, you know, technical stuff. It's a minor chord idiom, the modes, things of that nature, but it's really the people in my mind. Jazz is people.
Okay, cool. Omar, thank you very much for your call and for listening, and we'll get back to the interview now.
Great. Right. My pleasure.
Thank you very much. And if anyone else would like to call, the number is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. So now we're going to bring up Jonathan Ingram on bass is who I've got next. He didn't look like he was ready, but we're going to get him to sneak over here, and I'm going to wax poetic until he does. Once again, you're listening to Jazz from FGCU's Jazz Quartet here in studio. So Jonathan Ingram on bass, welcome to the show.
Hi.
So how long have you been involved with music in general? When did you get started in your life?
I started playing music when I was 10 years old, and I started on guitar, actually. I didn't start playing bass until really like my last year of high school is when I started playing bass. Until then, I had the idea of going to school to study guitar, and that was my thing for a long time. I also, while I was playing guitar, I also played violin and saxophone. I still kind of play those instruments, but now I mostly focus on bass.
So what drew you to the bass? What makes that your central focus now?
Well, the opportunity to play bass happened when I was in high school because there was no one to play it. And, you know, I noticed that it was similar to the guitar and the violin, or at least that was what I perceived it as at the time. And so I decided to give it a try, and I really liked it as an instrument. I fell in love with the sound. And so I kind of just made the switch at the last minute to bass.
So how did you wind up in the world of jazz? When you were playing guitar and whatnot, what kind of music were you playing? And was there any improv involved in what you were doing?
When I was focusing on guitar when I was in my youth, I played a lot of blues, you know, and so I learned to improvise through there. I'd also played jazz. While I was here, you know, a few years ago, I'd been playing guitar in the jazz ensemble here while also studying bass. And so that's really where I kind of began learning about jazz. And then with the help of Professor Brandon Robertson, you know, he's given me lots of lessons on the bass and how to play jazz. And so I've learned a lot from him. So, yeah.
What do you aspire to musically? I mean, is this something you want to do professionally?
Yes. Well, and I'm partially fulfilling my aspirations in that I want to, you know, play professionally, gig around town, which I'm, you know, doing, and gig with like a few different ensembles. And, you know, I'm passionate about teaching and about education too. So really, I just want to do it all. I play all sorts of genres. You know, I play classically, you know, I play Latin, you know, music. And so just want to go out there and play music and perform and teach and just try to make a living doing that, you know?
Are you a member of any other bands that might be seen around town that you can point us to where you might be out there?
Yeah, well, actually, me and Miguel play in a group called the Heat Latin Jazz Band, and Miguel's actually the leader of that group, and he'll tell you more about that. But I play bass in there. You know, that's a Latin, you know, jazz group. You know, play with just various other combos, you know, in the area. And so, yeah, and then, you know, I try to play with, you know, various, you know, chamber orchestras and community orchestras since I play classical music too. And so, yeah, there's a lot of things I try to do out in the area.
Oh, and just real quick, I noticed you picked up a bow toward the end of that song. How often does a bow fit into jazz on a bass?
Not very often.
I didn't think so.
That's
what caught my eye.
And I like to use it because I think it just adds like a really, you know, new and kind of special sound. Like most people are expecting to hear the thump, thump, thump of the bass. And then when you pull out the bow, we call it, you know, arco, using the bow. And when I use that, I notice, you know, if we're performing live somewhere, people's heads like perk up and they're like, what is that? You know, because it almost sounds like a cello. That's what a lot of people tell me. And so I try to incorporate it whenever I find it to be appropriate in jazz, you know, but it's mostly what we call pizzicato, which is plucking the string.
Right. Okay, cool. Well, we're going to also now bring up Miguel Azcuy, because he's the drummer. We were going to do a song in between each of you guys, but we're starting to run a little long, so I'm going to mix up the order. We're going to do a little improv radio here. So, Miguel, tell me a little bit about yourself. You're the drummer here in the quartet. How did you get involved with music?
So, it really started. My mom, she's from Venezuela, and a lot of her brothers were professional musicians down there in Venezuela. My dad has no musical background at all, but he really, you know, listened to a lot of records from a lot of different artists. So he really exposed, you know, pretty much myself and my two brothers to a lot of different styles of music. But for me, it really started when I was 5 years old and I saw the Cirque du Soleil show up in Orlando, La Nuba. And that for me just really set the spark to become a musician. I remember listening to the soundtrack, you know, all the time when I was a kid, and I said, you know, I want to be a musician. So that was really the catalyst for me. I started off actually playing alto saxophone when I first started in a music program, but then by the seventh grade, I had transitioned into drums. And really, I just, I have no regrets looking back. Drums was really my calling, and it's what I was born to do. That's the God-given talent that I have. And I've been able to do a lot of opportunities gigging outside of here. Like Jonathan mentioned, I have my own band, Heat Latin Jazz Band, which we play a lot of salsa classics from the 70s and the 80s, as well as Latin jazz and original compositions. We were also featured performers at the Sanibel Jazz Festival, which was this past November. And actually, the Jazz Combo this past February opened for the Mississippi Blues Legends. So that, again, is another good experience for me. But I would say, you know, drums has always been the thing for me, and that's really where I am now.
So you don't really play around with any of the other instruments that you had in your past? I mean, you don't even pick them up for fun anymore?
Oh, no. Yeah, I'm past that already.
So talk about being a member of a jazz quartet at a university. I mean, you guys must spend a lot of time together, playing a lot of music together.
Yes,
what's that like?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we do rehearse a lot, and a lot of the charts that we are playing now are actually recommendations from Professor Robertson. So he really gives us these charts, and he tells us what arrangements to listen to, what kind of influences we should glean when we perform these charts. And then, as you know, we put our own taste and our own feel to the songs as well. But it's really a lot of what he recommends, what he thinks would sound good for us, and also just a more modern and contemporary approach to just jazz standards that have been around for many, many years.
Yeah, he seems like a really dynamic guy.
I bet he
must be a lot of fun to work with.
Yeah.
So this is a question I asked Alec before. What do your contemporaries think about the kind of music you play? Because it isn't very much in the wheelhouse of, I think, most people your age.
Well, like Alec mentioned as well, people don't really explicitly listen to jazz, but a lot of the other genres that are out there actually have a lot of inspiration from jazz. Really, when you think historically, the two biggest genres of music are jazz and Latin music. So really, every other style that's out there comes from either one of those two. So like I mentioned before, there's Latin jazz, which is just a combination of Latin rhythms from, you know, the Caribbean, Africa, Brazil, and all those different kinds of areas, and they blend the two together. They sort of marry the styles together. And then really just a lot of hip-hop is based on the jazz swing. So what you're hearing now, mostly, that's kind of the hip-hop, you know, backbeat. And pretty much every other style, like I said, is really heavily influenced on jazz or Latin music. So although people may not listen to jazz, you know, outright, there's a lot of music out there that's really has its roots in jazz.
Okay, well, let's hear another song. What are we going to hear next? And I know we're going to drop one, so you guys decide which one we're not going to play.
Okay. The next one we're going to do is On Green Dolphin Street. It was originally written by Bronislaw Kaper, but this tune is kind of made its made its debut on the best-selling jazz album of all time, Kind of Blue, by Miles Davis. And that's what we're going to do. So this is called On Green Dolphin Street.
Okay, we're going to hear that. This is the FGCU Jazz Quartet. Again, it's comprised of Alex Prorock on trumpet, Jonathan Ingram on bass, Joel Law on piano, and Miguel Ascuy on drums, who we just heard from. Go ahead and take it away. Thank you. That was On Green Dolphin Street, performed in our performance studio. We're talking about and listening to jazz music on today's show. I'm joined by the FGCU Jazz Quartet. It's comprised of Alec Prorok on trumpet, Jonathan Ingram on bass, Joel Law on piano, and Miguel Ascui on drums. And so last but not least, Joel Law, get up here. We only have a few minutes. Let's meet you. So you're the piano player.
Yes, I am.
So give us a little sense of your musical background.
Hello, everybody. I grew up in the church, so that was like my big influence was church, and just was around a whole lot of musicians that were just, you know, always performing, always just sharing new knowledge. And at that time, I wanted to do it, but didn't know how. It was just so many musicians at the church, and it was just crazy. But eventually, I started to get myself into it around the age of 13. That's
through
when
school?
I started. Say it again?
Through school? Like through middle school, like the band or something?
Not necessarily. It was just because I just wanted to. Mm-hmm. And I saw my oldest brother. He actually was playing the drums, and he also played the cello. And so a couple of friends that I saw in the church kind of played piano, so I wanted to try it. And a piano teacher of mine actually saw that I had a talent and a gift for it. And she would just, you know, kind of test me and say, hey, you know, come back tomorrow and have this memorized. And I would come back and I would have it memorized. And she was just like, well, you know, you're practicing very well. I told her I didn't have a piano at the time. And she was just looking at me like fathom, like, okay, how is he able to memorize and know these things without a piano? And that's when she started to really get me into piano. And I started to take it seriously at the age of 13.
When did jazz enter the scene?
Jazz came maybe 3 or 4 years ago. I was at a junior college back in Sarasota. That's where I'm originally from, State College of Florida. And I was there, and they had a jazz ensemble. And I knew that, you know, I wanted to continue to play the piano, and I'm also a singer. So I was just like, well, let me give it a try. I didn't think anything when I first got into it, but eventually it became a passion, a joy for me, and I kind of continued that as I came here.
So now you're playing in a jazz quartet at Florida Gulf Coast University. What do you aspire to musically as you move forward?
Well, right now I'm in my degree is music education, and like I said, playing with these guys has opened my eyes and my ears to more things, and I want to just go around the world and teach not just the education part, but also just the love of music and bring music back again to where it was in the beginning. Not a competition, not about fame and fortune and money, but just the love and the joy of music. And so going into different countries and states and actually building, you know, small music schools there, that's one of my passions that I would like to do.
Well, all right. Well, that is all the time we have for today's show, so we're going to have to leave it there for now. I want to thank my guests. FGCU's Jazz Quartet is comprised of Alec Prorok on trumpet, Jonathan Ingram on bass, Joel Law on piano, and Miguel Ascui on drums. Thanks to you all, and thanks also to Professor Brandon Robertson. He joined us earlier. He's director of jazz studies and director of FGCU's basketball band. And so I'm going to have you guys play us out. I got to read a little bit more, but then I'm going to give you a nod, so about 30 seconds. Stand by, okay? You've been listening to an encore presentation of our show from back in January. Professor Robinson will be back in studio with another group of jazz musicians on Thursday, October 4th, so mark your calendars. Today's show was produced by Rachel Iacovone and myself. Our director is Richard Chinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Mike Kinnairy. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.
Thank you.